Hello and welcome to the Comic Book Noise. All right, if you've been listening for a while, you know what this is. Anyway, I'm taking a look at Countdown, which is a weekly miniseries, weekly limited series from DC Comics, Countdown to Final Crisis. I'm doing this one a little differently. Normally what I do is I will read the books, of course. I'll read them again to take notes. I will read them a third time in order to get down to synopsis. And then as I'm doing the show, I will read the book just in case there's something I don't have written down in my notes or there's some point that I didn't have in the synopsis that I want to make. Instead, this time what I'm going to do is I'm just going to wing it. Anyway, the title of this particular story is The Beginning of the End. Head writer is Paul Dini with Sean McKeever. Story consultant is Keith Giffen. The pencils are by Jamal Igel. The inks are by Keith Champagne. The colors are by Tom Chu. The letters are by Travis Lanham. The cover is by Adam Kubert with Edgar Delgado. The assistant editor is Elizabeth V. Gerline, and the editor is Mike Carlin. First off, I just want to say I like the cover. It's a boob cover, but it's actually a pretty cool cover. What can I say? The first page starts with all of the heroes who we've been following, the heroes who just got away from the great disaster, the excellent great disaster issues, I should say, are on top of the Daily Planet. And I just want to just take this time off to say that Jamal Igel's work on this page is just really, really cool. And the colors really pop to me. Anyway, you have Mary Marvel. You have Jimmy Olsen, Ray Palmer the Atom, Donna Troy. You have Forager, Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner, Firestorm, Red Robin, Holly Robinson and Harley Quinn, and then you have those hairy guys, those, I forgot what they were called, I think they are called the Harrys, the hippie types that Jack Kirby created a long time ago. Anyway, Ray Palmer wants to know if Jimmy actually boom-tooled him to the right Earth, and he's like, yeah, I'm positive, you know, I did this. Then there's like this cute little thing where Jimmy is like, look, you know, I'd never mess up and all that kind of stuff. And Forger's behind him says, hey, Olsen, you know, why is your middle finger crossed over your index finger? Because, you know, he has his fingers crossed because he's not really sure where he's at. He has his fingers crossed because the last time they were sent to an Earth, it turned out to be the Earth of the Great Disaster. And that's basically because that's where the Monitor wanted them to go. This time, he wanted to go home, so he knows that he sent them to the correct Earth. Now, Firestorm immediately says, you know, what Olsen says is good enough for me. I'm going home. what I think is funny is while he's taking off, Harley and Holly are just like, look, we're going back to Gotham. Although I'm pretty sure that the reason that Holly was in Metropolis in the first place is because she was wanted for murder in Gotham. Did they solve that particular issue and just never bothered to tell anybody? Anyway, so Donna asks Jason, are you going to walk away too? And you know, he said, you know what, screw you. Screw you all, which, you know, I kind of liked it. I like that attitude because the one thing that's really bugged me about the challengers of the whatever they are this time around is that challengers of the beyond, sorry, is that they have slugged Jason, told him he was worthless, insulted him to his face and behind his back, and yet he stuck with them. Even when he didn't want to stick with them, he stuck with them, and yet they still treated him like crap. So, yeah, he's home. I would say screw you too. It's like, look, I'm leaving. And although, they, you know, they're just like, oh, yeah, real nice, Jason, selfish as always. You know, I would have turned around and I would have just would have unleashed with a barrage of profanities. All right. But, you know, she's like, haven't you learned anything through all this? And he's like, yeah, this stuff is for suckers. Have a nice life, losers. And then he takes off. I like that. idiots. Anyway, so they decide to go and try to figure out what's going on, you know. A bunch of the heroes decide that, you know what, we're not going to do any good standing on top of the Daily Planet building. And they finally, and you know, and Kyle finally says, look, let's just take him to the Justice League. You know, this will be our real Justice League. Scene switches, you know, they're leaving. And then finally, after they decide to leave, is when Mary is like, look, I don't want to make it seem like I'm deserting you guys, but I got to get home. I got to find out what's happened to the rest of my family. They're like, okay, bye, Mary. Holly and Harley see them leaving, sees Mary flying away. They're getting ready to say something to her, but she's like, look, let's just go home. Harley says, let's just flag her down. And Holly's like, no, let's just go home. Jason shows up and says, hey, look, let's all hang out together. So they leave. He took his costume, which I really like, by the way. He threw it in the garbage. So scene switches to Mary Batson going home. I'm assuming she took a shower. I don't know. She just decides to put on sweatpants, you know, sweatsuit, and she gets some soda pop. And then, you know, she's like saying, look, I'm not selfish because I didn't want to hang out with them. I got stuff I got to do. And then she goes in the other room, and who's sitting there waiting for Darkseid? Which, once again, it kind of bugs me to see Darkseid, Lord of Evil, you know, the one who wants to destroy all of the life in the universe in a domestic setting. All right. I'm pretty sure that I have spoken about my displeasure at the Justice League International book, where they had him sitting around in a smoking jacket, drinking tea and reading Mein Kampf. This time they just have him lounging around on her couch, her love seat. No, she's he's just sitting there. It's like, you didn't think I'd forget about you, dude. I'm sorry, but this is Darkseid. He should be standing at a window with his back to her and his arms crossed behind his back. You know, the Darkseid pose. And then starting to talk to her. Immediately, though, she says Shazam and, you know, how dare you come into my home. And rightfully so, he says Darkseid dares all. Which makes sense. This is Darkseid. He wants to destroy the planet, okay? He wants to enslave the universe. I'm pretty sure that your personal space is not really high on his list of priorities, all right? But he just points out that in her final battle with Eclipso, she left a little something behind. And it's like a little bit of Eclipso power, okay? And she says, you know, what is it? He said, you know what this is. This is your power. She says, no, I got my power back. The gods gave it to me. And he points out to her that, no, they did give you power, but it's not the full power that you used to have. They don't trust you anymore. They've lost their faith. And she's like, I don't care. I don't care. That little ball is evil. Oh, excuse me. She said, that little ball of evil, it's evil, and I'm not evil. So he points out to say, well, when you held this, did you feel evil? He said, I felt strong. And then she grabs it. And he says, all I require is one tiny favor. And as she touches it, there's a big lightning strike. And the scene switches to Paradise Island, where they're rebuilding. And Hippolyta is standing there with some really, really odd feet. You know, you could say what you will about the feet that Rob Liefeld either drew or didn't drew, but Jamal Igoe's feet on Hippolyta right here are really grotesque. Her baby toe is like as big as her big toe. Ugh, freaky. And I'm sorry, but I don't know why I'm fixated on that, because I don't have a foot fetish, but this is like, looks really weird. But anyway, Hippolyta realizes that Mary is gone back over to the dark side, which kind of totally invalidates the past, what, 5 or 6 issues? Where, you know, first she was, she's got a confusing story arc. When it started off, she was powerless. Then she got Black Adam's power. Then she got Eclipso's power. And then she was evil. And then she got rid of the evil, and she was powerless again. But she was good. And then she went from being good to getting her powers back and being powerful but good. And then she survived the great disaster. And now she's evil again. Okay. Seeing switches really quick over to the multiversal nexus, where all the other monitors aren't talking to Solomon. And this is something that ticked me off. Even though I've wrested the great disaster from him, meaning Darkseid, allowing the Mordekaiser to thrive in Nix Yutan's reconstituted 51st universe instead of that original universe, essentially destroying the same monitor's domain twice, he still bested me. Okay, you have the perfect universe. In this perfect universe, things were going great. Ray Palmer was happy. Whatever. Then Monarch comes and decides to destroy everything. Monarch fights with Superman Prime. His armor gets broken open. The entire universe gets destroyed. Okay, there ends the perfect universe. All right, so right then and there, there should have only been 51 universes, but I guess what they decided to do without letting us know was to recreate that universe. All right? And this time let it fall prey to the great disaster. So now that is the Commandy universe. That's how I see it. Maybe I missed something, but did they say that they had reconstituted that universe? Did they actually say, hey, by the way, this is a repeat. We hit reboot on this universe. It's back, and now we've destroyed it again. Ridiculous. Okay, switch back to our universe, I guess, or the DC universe. They go to the JLA's headquarters, which looks like the Super Friends thing, whatever. And before they get there, you know, Ray Palmer has this, he hesitates because he didn't say goodbye last time, and now he's just showing back up. Dude, you're a superhero. Superheroes vanish all the time, and they show back up, all right? And these are the ones that don't die. So nobody's going to hold it against you, asshole. But before they could get in, Mary Marvel attacks them, and she's back in black. So, like I said, there's your story arc for Mary. She's back to being evil, so why they even had her redeem herself in the first place, I don't know. They could have left her evil. It really wouldn't have affected the stories. You know what I mean? I mean, it really would not have affected anything. Instead of having Mary attack Granny Goodness, you know, mouth off to Granny Goodness back on Paradise Island, could have been somebody else. And then that's when there could have been some nameless character. And that's when everything hits the fan and starts going back to normal. She was not really needed. The only thing that they had her do was lead Holly and Harley to the imprisoned Greek gods. But quite frankly, they could have had Harley or Holly. You know, Harley, who's already crazy, could have just been hearing voices. And then she follows the voices. Boom, there it goes. They didn't need to do this marionette jerk action with Mary. weird. So anyway, she starts fighting everybody and decide, and, you know, she lets them in that what she wants is Jimmy Olsen, who, you know, sent all the Harrys home. What's her name? Oh, this is weird. I didn't notice this first time I read it. The second time I read it. I didn't read it a third time. This is the third time I'm reading it. Huh. But, Forager decides to tell her, look, you can't hurt Olsen. You have to kill me first. So then there's, like, a big fight. And, during this big fight, it's just, you know, a random superhero fight. Superheroes versus superheroes. And eventually, though, Mary grabs Jimmy Olsen and takes off. Okay? And Ford, you know, and Donna's like, after all we've been through, we've just lost him to Darkseid. Ford's like, no, we've lost no one. I'll track him. I will find him, even if it takes us to the ends of creation. And first off, Donna, get a grip. All right? You guys are going to find him again. You know it's. Quit acting that way. You're embarrassing yourself. Whatever. After the high of the Great Disaster issues, they have taken us back to normal countdown stuff. The backup story is the origin of Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul, Rag. All right, it's the origin of Rag. Pretty good. I knew most of it, but not all of it. Oh, I'm sorry. Writer Scott Beatty. The artist is Cliff Chiang. The letterer is Travis Lanham. The editor is Elizabeth V. Gerline. The artwork is fantastic. I like Cliff Chiang's work. Yeah, what can I say? I like the artwork. I like the writing. Just didn't like the lead story. Issue number 3. We have 3 more of these things left. All right. The title of the story is Owned. The head writer is Paul Dini with Sean McKeever. The story consultant is Keith Giffen. The art is by Freddie Williams II, noisy award-winning artist Freddie Williams II. The colors are by Pete Pantanzis. The letters are by Ken Lopez. The cover is Adam Kubert with Edgar Delgado. The assistant editor is Elizabeth V. Gerline. The assistant editor is Elizabeth V. Gerline, and the editor is Mike Carlin. Story starts off with the Challengers of the Beyond talking to Arsenal, and they're explaining everything that's going on, right? That Mary Marvel has gone bad, Ray Palmer has disappeared again, and Darkseid is going to kill Jimmy Olsen. All right. And as they're trying to explain to him, Arsenal is being speedy, okay? You know, you'd think that after all they've gone through, he would give her a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. And he's like, Ray, you mean Ray Palmer the Atom? I hate to tell you this, but he's been missing for a long time. She says, I know, we found him. But now he's disappeared again. And as she's trying to explain things again, somebody mentions Darkseid. He says, I thought you were fighting Mary Marvel. And like I said, he's just being speedy. Scene switches to outside Metropolis, where you have Mary Marvel and Darkseid going up against Jimmy Olsen. And Jimmy Olsen is telling him, I'm not afraid of you. Okay. And Darkseid is like, I admit, you've been a great source of amusement, but now I want that power back. Jimmy Olsen tells him, look, you forgot, I've got powers too. He says, yeah, you have great power, as long as I permit it. Next thing you know, Mary is like, come on, this is where Darkseid rips your cage open and beats the living hell out of your vital organs. And all of a sudden, somebody says, I'm disappointed to hear such language coming from you, Mary. There's Superman, and he just knocks the hell out of Darkseid. He knocks him from one page to another. A 2-page spread that actually works. I mean, this is where you have power. Okay, this is really cool. This two-page spread is like one punch knock. I like it. Superman faces off with Darkseid. Okay. Darkseid says, you know, I'm a little bit insulted. I expected the entire Justice League of America to rain down on me at once. And Superman's like, not this time. They just be getting in my way. You had the New Gods murdered, Darkseid. Now you're going after Jimmy. The way I see it, it's well past time for me to put you down. And then his eyes, they both of them have the red eye, which we all know usually means heat vision. But no. No heat vision. Darkseid uses his eye blast first, and next thing you know, they start fighting. Jimmy Olsen, apparently his powers have been turned off, his defensive powers, so he's in trouble. So Forager is going to take care of him. And then there's, but she forgets, now she has to face off one-on-one with Mary Marvel. But that's, to me, that who cares about those two? The big battle is Superman Darkseid. And this is like hitting each other. They're blasting each other. Superman face plants him. Okay. He grabs Darkseid. All right. First off, Darkseid grabs Superman. So then Superman, for the first time that I can remember, uses his heat vision to blast somebody in the face. Superman grabs him with one hand and just, you know, pie faces him into the ground. Love it. Big explosion. And then Darkseid, who grabbed him first, said, "You dare lay your hands on mighty Darkseid. You dare." And once again, another full page spread that shows Darkseid getting up. His hands are glowing red. There's about to be some ass whooping going on him. Superman is looking like, you know, Superman's bleeding out the ear, and he's got a look on his face like, you mother. They both got that face, right? And if this was Spider-Man, he would have said something like, not only did I lay my hands on you, I pie faced you some bitch. But then there's fighting. There's like, they just go at it. But while they're bocking each other upside the head, Mary Marvel can't get to Forager because Forager is like Spider-Man. She moves around, right? And so then Mary, I guess, decides, you know what? I'm being kind of stupid trying to punch this woman. I just use, you know, force rays or whatever it is. She just uses some kind of light that just throws, it throws Forager for a while. And, which she knocks Forager away, Mary does. And then she tells Jimmy not to worry, because she's not going to kill you. She says, I'm not going to kill you. We're just going to hang tight until Darkseid finishes up so he can kill you. And then, boom, out of nowhere, there's Donna and Kyle, and they brought Vixen and Black Canary. Now, I'm hoping that they brought Black Canary because she's the leader of the Justice League. Because I personally would have put out a call for Wonder Woman. All right. No offense to Black Canary, but when you're going up against like real cosmic powered people, she's not very high on my list of people I want on my back. Okay. But then again, I wouldn't want Ray Palmer on my back either. But there's a fight. Okay. So. And so this is cracks me up. But Mary's like, you think you and your little crew there can take me? Really? Then prove it. And as Donna is fighting her, and Mary looks like she's grabbing her hair, you know, of course, the evil hair pulling woman. Kyle, who's got one of the most powerful weapons in the universe, just sneaks up behind her and blasts her in the back and does absolutely nothing. I just think that's funny. And I also think it's kind of funny that that Black Canary is reaching for Mary Marvel. You think if she's going to show up, that she would actually be more like a strategist in a strategist role, but I guess not. Switch back to Superman versus Darkseid, and they're whamming and brookhooming each other. And you know, what's his name? Darkseid shoots his ultra beams, and they go around Superman, and they smash right into Jimmy Olsen. You know, these are the Omega beams. They smash him right in the back, and everybody's like, you know, Superman's like, what have you done to him? He's like, nothing really. I merely unlocked the failsafe I installed when I made him my cosmic vessel. Okay. So basically what's going on is Jimmy Olsen's, all of the power that Jimmy Olsen had is just being unleashed at once. Does that really make a lot of sense to anybody else? Now, I know that the Darkseid's whole thing is he's just going to burn up. All right, that's what I would think, okay? But I really wouldn't want to take the chance. If he's powerless and he's running away, if you kill him, the power will return to you. Kill him. I mean, everybody knows that Darkseid has many different Omega beams, right? There's Omega beams that transport you somewhere. There's Omega beams that kill you. And apparently there are Omega beams that unlock failsafes when he makes you his cosmic vessel. I would have used the killing beam, all right? Man, I tell you, that'd be a great supervillain. I wouldn't punk out. But it looks like Jimmy Olsen is turning kryptonite or something, and Darkseid blasts Superman in the back, and they're near each other, and he's about to die, right? It does say it. What's his name? Jimmy Olsen is radiating kryptonite. Now, the Ray is there, and the Atom is there. Ray Palmer, the Atom. I don't know why he's inside of Jimmy Olsen. Is he inside his eyeballs? I don't get it. Anyway, there's some kind of something inside of Jimmy Olsen. All right? Some kind of technology of some sort, and Ray's trying to figure it out. Okay. It's trying to figure out so he can neutralize it somehow. Darkseid is talking crap. And then not only is Darkseid talking crap, but he turns his back on Superman and Jimmy Olsen to watch Mary Marvel beat up on the heroes. I mean, she just smacks Kyle. Vixen looks like she's knocked out. And Black Canary is like, whoa, what hit me? great. All right, so, you know, there's fights, and she grabs Kyle and uses him as a weapon to beat Donna with. I mean, she's grabbing him by his ankle, and she swats Donna out of the sky. And then she just, like, hits Donna with Kyle like 5 times. All right. Love it. Switch back to Ray Palmer, who's inside of Jimmy Olsen. And there's another law, another comic book law. Okay. The very first comic book law that I came across was pretty much Moore's Law from Miracle Man, where if you introduce a superpower being into a universe, others are going to pop up, okay? And there's always going to be there's a corollary. There's always going to be one that goes against it. I'll have to actually go through my Miracle Man run to find out exactly the wordage. But that's basically it. If you take a superpower being, hero or villain, plop them down into a universe or world that has no heroes or villains, other heroes are going to pop up, other villains are going to pop up, all right? I've always loved that law. Then there's the Gaiman's rule of super crossovers, which basically says the more crossovers you have for a big event, the less worth those crossovers are going to be. And or was it the less sense the actual event itself makes? I can't remember. Anyway, that's just a new one. But here's one. Gardner's Law, which I'm assuming is named after Guy Gardner. When in doubt, break things.
Love it.
Not only does he bust open this thing, but they're like Kryptonian antibodies, which really does look like something that Jack Kirby would have created, all right? And they're attacking the atom, all right? Really weird. But when they do that, that takes the control that Darkseid had over Jimmy Olsen and gets rid of it. Jimmy Olsen says, "You want the power I got inside me, Darkseid?" As he is a huge, gigantic person, and he says, "Then come and get it," as he grabs for Darkseid. To be continued. Backup story is the origin of Amazo? Who cares? He's that big robot thing. The writer is Scott Beatty. The artist is Doug Mankey. The letterer is Ken Lopez. The colorist is Hi-Fi. The editor is Elizabeth V. Gerline. And I'm wrong. The very first line of this says, "Never mistake Amazo for a mere robot. Robots are automatons programmed to do simple tasks. Androids, in contrast, have ambition." Okay. Anyway, this is cool. I knew most of it. Although there's this one Amazo that looks like really weird. It had to have some. It's like a skull head. It's like a skull face with things coming out of his head. I mean, upgrade or die. You know what this sounds like to me? This picture looks like something that might have happened during the 90s. And my cat is pushing my microphone for some odd reason. So, hold on a second. Okay. Issue number two, a final of Countdown to Final Crisis. The cover calls it "The Dark Side of Jimmy Olsen," and you see a gigantic Jimmy Olsen who's got, like, scales on him. The only reason you can really tell it's Jimmy Olsen because it says it's Jimmy Olsen. He has red hair. So he has like the, you have like this lizard creature with gray hair. Red hair. And he's fighting a giant Darkseid who for some reason has picked up a bus. Really weird. However, we all know that's not the name of the story. The name of the story is actually Darkseid equals Death. Head writer Paul Dini with Sean McKeever. The story consultant is Keith Giffen. The art is by Tom Collins. The colors are by Tom Chu. Letters, Travis Lanham. Cover, Adam Kubert with Edgar Delgado. Assistant editor, Elizabeth V. Gerline. The editor is Mike Carlin. The story actually starts off with a bunch of news reports. Just letting you know that there's like this big mayhem in Metropolis is what they call it. And quite frankly, shouldn't Metropolis really be used to this kind of stuff by now? Anyway, but the mayhem is what's his name? Darkseid fighting a giant Darkseid fighting a giant Jimmy Olsen. And Jimmy Olsen does have the scales that he has on the cover, but his face is a lot less scaly. And he does have the red hair. But this one actually looks more like Jimmy Olsen than the cover does. While these two are fighting, the Challengers of the Beyond are evacuating people because they are laying waste to Metropolis. Which, quite frankly, I don't understand because there's like a lot of old-looking buildings in Metropolis. Looks like they've had architecture from about like maybe the 30s and the 40s going on here. But Metropolis gets destroyed all the time. Thinking back to, I want to say it was Action Comics number 600. Was it 600 or 700? Where Lex Luthor destroyed the entire city. You know? And Lex Luthor is not in jail. You know? Anyway, I mean, they're destroying it. I mean, Jimmy Olsen picks up a bridge, not just any old bridge, but this is like, all right, there are people on the bridge trying to escape. Darkseid knocks him in, knocks Jimmy Olsen into this bridge. He gets knocked down. The bridge starts to collapse. There are cars, so I'm assuming that there are probably people in these cars, okay? So Jimmy Olsen takes the bridge, and he smacks Darkseid in the face with it. So, and there are cars flying everywhere. All right, there's no way, absolutely no way at all that they can say that nobody died in this big fight. In fact, it looks like there might even be little specks that might be bodies. But Jimmy Olsen just killed more people. Remember earlier in the series, he killed some street toughs, right? The reason I'm calling them street toughs is because if you listen to the excellent Tom versus the JLA podcast, Tom Caters calls them street toughs all the time, and now it's just stuck in my head. Thanks a lot, Tom, even though I know you don't listen. He killed a bunch of people, all right? He had to. There's no way he could get around it. Switch inside of Jimmy Olsen's body, and there you have Ray Palmer. He escaped from the Kirby-looking antibodies things, and he's trying to find what's going on the inside. He gets inside of Jimmy Olsen's brain, and instead of like accidentally lobotomizing him or anything, he's just able to just like climb through. And there's like some kind of big, not well, big compared to the Atom. There's like this thing, it's like some kind of mechanical thing inside of Jimmy Olsen's head. And when he sees it, Ray goes, you know, this is not anything I'm even remotely familiar with, but I'm fairly certain I just hit the jackpot. What's his name? Darkseid grabs Jimmy Olsen by the neck, and he says, for the fifth world to be mine, Jimmy Olsen must die. And out of Jimmy Olsen's ear flies the Atom. Jimmy Olsen starts to shrink again. And Atom talks major league crap to Darkseid. Says, hey, you, with the kilt, I've got your little soul battery. Yanked out of Olsen's medulla. You want it? Well, tough. He has it in his hand, and he smashes it. He crushes it. And, of course, Darkseid sees something gets crushed. He says, no! Ray Palmer, you've dabbled in these fairs for the last time. I may not have brought you back to this world, but I will most gladly be the one to send you away. Then there's a big, huge boom tube. A boom tube is what Darkseid says. But who? Orion, the Hunter, the guy from the New Gods, the one person who was destined to kill Darkseid, even though he's killed him like two or three times already. You see him, he's standing there, and he's covered in what can only be described as Kirby Crackle. He says to him, Father, this day will mark the end for you. And just to show him that he means what he's saying, he shoots him. He says, Orion, you should have died along with the rest of the New Gods at the hand of the Infinity Man. An oversight I will now tend to. And then there's a big Braca womb. There's smashing. I mean, if you thought that the Superman Darkseid fight was big, or even the Jimmy Olsen Darkseid fight was big, this is even bigger. There's a lot more non-background stuff going on here. There's lightning flying everywhere. It's like, oh, they're smashing each other. No more of your treachery, Father. I will not allow this. And he sees Orion turns his head, and he sees Superman, Flash, Donna Troy, Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner. He's like, Heroes of Earth, stop. Leave us be. Instead of let us be. Yeah, anyway. So they start fighting. This fight is mine and mine alone. Then Orion breaks out with the prophecy that if you've been reading New Gods, the Kirby stuff, then you know, you've heard it before. The father of Apocalypse shall meet his banished son in the red light of the fire pits, and there they shall decide this war. And there's like the tornado stuff. There's stuff flying all around. Orion's bleeding from the nose, and he's got spit coming out of his mouth. I will fulfill the prophecy. Orion shall have his victory. Then he gets blasted in the back. He gets blasted in the back, and Darkseid says, insufferable child, naive brute, you will have nothing. And as Orion is on fire, Darkseid just walks over, kicks him off the edge, says, Darkseid will have all. He goes flying into the ground, and there's a big womb, and there's fire everywhere. And Kyle Rayner says, Superman, I don't care what Orion says. We got to do something here. Superman said, this is between a father and his son, Kyle. This is between gods. And then even though he's already landed, his cape is still flapping in the wind. So then go back to the fight. Darkseid walks down, and he's already beat him. He's already set him on fire, or he set him on Kirby Crackle. And he walks over to him, just puts his foot on his head. He says, you can't possibly hope to fight Destiny. You can only die. Puts his foot on his head, starts to crush him. He goes, argh. Orion pops up. And quite frankly, in some of the worst sequence of Scott Collins art I've ever seen, Orion hops up, knocks his father down, and then just starts wailing on him. He goes, here is your destiny, father. Here is your fate. Orion is merciless. Things starts falling down. There's a big shaboom. They stand up and they're fighting. They got the heads are hitting each other. They're pressing up against each other, and they're just like, I don't see your precious fire pits, Orion, so tell me, what good is your talk of prophecy now? And Orion is, you know, he's not trying to play mind games, all right? Darkseid is in the fight for his life, and he's trying to play mind games. Ah, you don't have a prophecy, nah, 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 nah. And Orion just says, I will kill you, even if I must die to do it. So he goes, ask the spirit. These are the words of the one I would call son. And so and quite possibly the second worst sequence of Scott Collins art I've ever seen. Orion punches right through Darkseid's chest. He says, I am nothing like you. What was it you said? No fire pits? You know, it's like, oh, you want to talk shit early? Well, here, I'm going to talk some shit now. No fire pits, huh? He rips his hand out. He goes, your hellish heart is fire pit enough. He rips his fist out of this gaping hole in Darkseid's chest. And Darkseid finally starts to realize, maybe I'm going to lose. No, not me. It was never meant to be me. And Orion, horrible artwork here. Horrible. He says, ever so arrogant, this Darkseid, straight through to the end. Goodbye, father. You hear Darkseid yelling, no. There's a big explosion. But then the rain comes down. Everything is at peace. Everything is at peace. Orion is standing there as the rain comes down. Kyle's like, what do we do now? You know, because he's an idiot. Superman says nothing. We let Orion go. He says, are you kidding me? The guy's at death's door. We gotta, just shut up, Kyle. You asked a question. It was answered. Shut up. If you don't like the answer, shut up. Superman says, no, Kyle. No one can help him now. His day is done. Last line in the book. There came a time when the new gods died. This story will not be to be continued. It will be to be concluded. The backup story. Writer Scott Beatty. Artist Ryan Sook. Letterer Travis Lanham. Colorist Hi-Fi. Editor Elizabeth V. Gerline. This is the origin of Darkseid. Excellent artwork. I love it. I love it. Love the story. And you know what? This is actually an appropriate one. On the next issue, countdown number one, it just says the countdown is over. The next week's cover is just black and it says the countdown is over. So you think, wow, this is going to be like a really special cover. Well, I have it. You know what? It's a good cover. Not necessarily special. It's kind of like the cover from the first issue, which I guess is kind of appropriate because this is Countdown to Final Crisis number one. The end is what it says on the cover. And on the cover, you have Donna Troy, Forager, Ray Palmer the Atom, Harley Quinn, Holly Robinson, Jimmy Olsen, and Kal Rayner. For some reason, you have no Jason Todd, even though he was one of the main characters. You also don't have Mary Marvel, who was another one of the main characters. But who cares? The story is actually not called The End. It's called Loose Ends. Paul Dini is a head writer. Keith Giffen is a story consultant. Tom Derenick is a penciler. Wayne Foucher is the inker. Pete Pentanzis is a colorist. Swans, who's Steve Wands, by the way. He's a letterer. Andy Kubert with Pete Carlson is the cover. Elizabeth V. Gerline is the editor. Mike Carlin is the editor. And it starts off, somebody is talking about all of the different universes. He goes, I played out the scenario in my head. Excuse me. I played out the scenario 1,000 times in my head. I'm at the Pulitzer Prize ceremony, accepting the award and reporting for everything I've documented over the past 12 months. I look into the audience and I see 52 Supermen, 52 Batman, 52 Kangorillas, for God's sake. 52 variations on an infinite number of heroes and villains all looking back at me. Then I realize there's no way I can write this story. Who would believe it? Most people have trouble enough wrapping their minds around the intricacies of one Earth, let alone 52. It turns out, I'm assuming that this is Jimmy Olsen. Jimmy Olsen is sitting there, and it looks like he's drinking beer, or he's drinking something. Who knows? He's talking with what's her name? Forager. And he says to himself, you know, a relationship is headed for the dumpster when your cute alien bug girlfriend shortens her formerly endearing pet name for you from Olsen Bug to just OB. So serious, James. We have to talk. Now I'm James, old boy, and attached to a phrase every guy loves to hear. Some guys actually like hearing, we have to talk. Because what that means is there's going to be an exchange of communication that you will find out her hopes and dreams and wishes for the relationship, and she will learn your hopes and dreams and wishes for the relationships. Other guys know that you're about to get dumped on your ass. Scene switches to Ray Palmer, where he goes home, the house that he shared with Jean Loring, and he's sitting around just moping. Until somebody comes ringing his doorbell. And it's Donna Troy. And she sits down and she's like, you know what? Yeah, I've got that unfulfilled look also, you know. They want something to do. They've saved the multiverse. Now they want something to do. Scene switches to Gotham City, where guess what? The Piper is back. He's alive and he's on Earth. And he's talking to rats and he's like, you know what? I've got a chance to settle some unfinished business, and this time on the side of the Angels. Nice and good, but isn't he still wanted in connection with Flash's murder? Isn't the Suicide Squad still after him? Doesn't he still know about this great, vast conspiracy? Aren't the Rogues still after him? Am I the only one who remembers these storylines from earlier in this series? All right. The scene switches over also in Gotham. And there is Jason Todd. Jason Todd is about to talk. Well, he's about to interrogate. He's saying that he's not going to be a sidekick ever again. He's going to carve out his own life. And he's talking to some guy in the underworld. And he's like, you know what? Knowledge is power. So lay some knowledge on me, smart guy. And he pulls out a knife because this guy's all tied up and gagged. So hopefully he's going to cut the gag off so the guy can actually give him answers. Who knows? Scene switches to the source wall where you see Monitor Solomon talking crap. He's like, it still stands. The fifth age will dawn. Despite his every machination, Darkseid won only scattered battles, not a war. Though battered and damaged, the source wall stands, the multiverse endures. And he starts talking a whole lot of crap. And he decides to leave a little something on the source wall. It looks like one of the chess pieces that he and Darkseid used to use. Only this one is shaped in the form of Darkseid. Seeing this switches back to Ray Palmer's house, where there's Kyle Rayner. Kyle Rayner has showed up to also seem mopey and depressed. So Kyle Rayner is like, look, you were there. You saw what happened, what did happen on Summers. They're trying to convince him to do something. You know, godlike beings are playing games with the cosmos. You know, doesn't that eat at you? And Ray Palmer's like, look, I try not to think about it. Because quite frankly, he had a pretty good thing going until these two showed up and kind of destroyed his old world, you know? So they have a question. They tell him, we want an answer to a question. What's the question? Who monitors the monitors? Monitors are watchmen, right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, no, you're insane. We're not going to do it. Scene switches to Black Adam. Apparently Black Adam has his power back, even though I thought he gave it up. But he's got his power back. And Mary is telling him that he was right all along, that she wants to be on his side. She stomped the Justice League and split, that they're not even a small threat to beings of our power. You're right all along. He just looks at her spoiled, willful child. I've always done what I must, while you simply do what you want. She's like, and then he's like, don't come to me seeking a partner in your misery. And starts to fly off. She just shoots him in the back with lightning. Said, don't turn your back on me ever. Now, normally you think Black Adam is about to, you know, rip her head off. He said, I called you a child and reacted like one. He says, as I normally find beating children distasteful, I'll ignore you. Farewell, Mary. And he just flies off. And then, since she's in the middle of a desert, she just decides to say that she doesn't. She says, I'm Mary Marvel, I don't need you, I don't need anybody. Starts smashing up some stuff and says, I'm Mary damn Marvel. Scene then switches back to the Earth of the Commandy Earth, where Brother Eye has come back. Brother Eye says, "I have need of the Creator's services." Creator, talking about Buddy Blank, will be a new Olmec prototype, revised with a limited amount of free will. Brother Eye shocks, you know, shoots some kind of beam at him. And now it's kind of appropriate to point out that that Buddy Blank and his grandson are still in the underground tomb thing, bunker, I'm sorry. And they only have like 2 days of food and water. You know, anyway. So Buddy Blank gets hit with this thing, and there's Olmec. Not the fake Olmec from the Olmec project that's been around since what, 2001 now, but the real Olmec, the Jack Kirby Olmec from the 70s, you know, a guy with the mohawk and the, I guess they're not short pants. But anyway, he's a big guy now. He's the Olmec that we know. So, Buddy Blank Olmec opens the door and they're just like, you know what? Why don't we go home? You know? Brother Eye is still out there watching over us, protecting us from anything this toxic environment can create. And he goes, but why? What's the real need that this thing has for me? And what happens when he calls for me again if they don't have an Olmec series coming out soon? Then they are really missing the boat. Okay. These stories are the ones I want to read. Okay. I want to read about what's going to happen next on this great disaster Earth. I don't want to read the stuff that Jack Kirby did, which was, I believe, just a ripoff of Planet of the Earth, Planet of the Apes. Fine. That's good. If I want to go back and read that stuff, good. I want to go from this point on forward. All right. This is what I want to read. I want to read this stuff. Put it out, Marvel. Yeah, Marvel, you put it out because DC's taking too long. So then the scene switches back to Forger has now joined everybody over at Ray Palmer's house. And she drug along Jimmy Olsen, who has no more powers. Although, quite frankly, I wouldn't mind hanging out with Jimmy Olsen if I was a superhero, because Jimmy Olsen always seems to get out of trouble. At least that's just the way it looks to me. So then apparently they've decided something. You have Forager, Kyle Rayner, and Donna Troy talking. And she says, we've decided. And Ray Palmer says, to leave, please. He says, we're going to monitor their monitors and we need your help. And he goes, why would I want to do that? And then Nix Yuletan, the youngest of the monitor, pops up. He says, because you know it's right. Power brokers are not infallible. Mistakes are made, hubris, arrogance. These are the pitfalls of those who become complacent with the responsibility they bear, especially now that we are becoming individuals. So, even though he doesn't really want to do this, scene switches over to the multiversal nexus, where you have the Atom, Donna Troy, Forager, and, Kyle Rayner talking to the collected monitors, basically saying, you know, they're up there like their very presence here is an insult to our eons of selfless duties. And Donna's like, and yet here we are. You will abide by our decisions or you will accept the punishments. And then the idiot Kyle goes, you know, we can enforce them. Seems like every time they go up against a monitor, he's the first one to get his ass kicked. You know? And some guy goes, we're monitors. We answer to no one. The Nix Yuletan goes, we are flawed. I sponsor these challengers. And then one guy just really says the right thing. Okay? He goes, you, two universes have perished under your watch. That's right. Point that out. Although if I was Knicks, you'd turn out and be like, bitch, what? But that's just me. Some guy goes, they are anomalies. The only being, only the being known as Adam has a world. And then he goes, not anymore. There's nothing for me in my world. I renounce my place in it. From now on, I join these others to serve the multiverse's border guards for man and monitor alike. We didn't come here to ask permission. We came to serve notice. We're out there. Watch yourselves. And they're all looking crazy. Like, God damn it. What are we? And it's back in the back, looking devious. Solomon, the monitor formerly known as Beardy, just says, well, well, and so a new game begins. That's not where we end it, though. We end it in Gotham City, where Harley Quinn is hanging out with Holly, and they're just like, she's like, Harley's just like, man, oh man. Holly, she's like sitting out on the fire escape. Holly comes and said, you say something, Harley? She's like, I'm just thinking. Really? So yeah, there's so much going on. There's so much going on here and out there in places we don't even know about. Everything's so scary, uncertain. We never know when fate will shake it all up. Holly goes, that's pretty deep. Harley goes, you gotta wonder how we'll make it, you gotta wonder how we'll ever make it through. Goes, a positive attitude and lots of denial? Then I guess we can follow on back on what's gotten. Anyway, they talk, and then that's how we end it. With those two talking, looking up at the night sky. Next, DC Universe Zero. DC Universe Zero was a waste of time and money for all involved. It is the epitome of the term money grab. It was supposed to be a bridge between Countdown to Final Crisis and Final Crisis. And guess what it turned out to be? Was it 50 cents? It cost 50 cents. And it was just previews of what's coming up. There was a supposedly a big spoiler reveal at the end of the book. I read that thing twice, and I didn't even know it until somebody said, oh, yeah, here's the spoiler. It was like, spoiler? Oh, is that what that meant? I mean, it didn't work as a teaser. It didn't work as a standalone. It was just 50 cents that I wasted. Okay. Countdown to Final Crisis is over. It was a waste of money in the grand scheme of things. It was a waste of time in the grand scheme of things. This could have been done as a series of weekly, monthly specials, actually. You know, every month you have a different story. And at the end, you would have gotten the same effect, right? You could have told the story of they just could have did this so much better. There's still a bunch of inconsistencies that were never addressed. Like, basically, how did, you know, going way back, how did Jimmy Olsen know about Jason Todd? Jason Todd or Tim Drake or whatever. He knew somebody's secret identity when he shouldn't have known it. Okay. Does he still know Superman's secret identity? That was never addressed in Countdown. And somebody could say, well, yeah, well, this was, take, you know, they discussed this in Superman number whatever, whatever, or in Action Comics. And it doesn't matter. I'm not reading that. I was reading Countdown. All right. They could have done so much more, and they didn't. Okay? One thing I've noticed about DC is they kind of like back into success and then don't know really how to capitalize on it. Way back with Countdown on Infinite Earths, and I remember reading this somewhere, and I can't remember where I read it, But the way I remember reading is that they were going to clean up their continuity. Okay, that's what the whole countdown on, the whole Crisis on Infinite Earths was supposed to be. It's supposed to clean up their continuity. But at the time, a lot of people, a lot of writers were just, you know, working for the company, were like, I'm not going to follow this. And eventually everybody ended up following it because after the first couple of issues, it seemed like, whoa, we've got something big here. Okay. Now, I could be wrong about that, but that's just how it seemed. Once, and to me, that should have been the blueprint for how they would do mega events. Number one, you don't do them every year, but that's where they decided to go crazy. And they just did one after another, till finally you go from countdown. So you start off from going from Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I think the last one that I really remember even semi-caring about was like the Joker's Wild or something like that, where Joker was taking on everybody. Who knows? Who cares? All I know is it didn't work. They had something good. They could have milked it. They didn't. Move on. They tried to duplicate it. Didn't work. All right. 52 came after what could best be described as a disappointing reaction to Infinite Crisis. And a lot of people were like, you know, I don't really care about 52. But then they started hearing really good things about it. 52 really started off like, I don't know. But then by the end, I was all on board, right? The weekly format was working for DC. So instead of really thinking out how they should do this the right way, it seems like they just rushed things. They said, okay, well, we're going to have a final crisis. We're going to do a countdown to it. But we're not going to announce what it is. We're just going to do a countdown. And then halfway through, okay, it's a countdown to the final crisis. Okay. I think that once you finish the countdown, you would get directly into it. This whole DC Universe number zero shouldn't have even been around. They should have gone directly from countdown number one to final crisis. But they didn't. All right. They want to have a zero issue, fine, whatever, who cares? It just did not have to be that lame, all right? But it looks like they just threw it together. So now there's another weekly series called Trinity, and I don't know if this is going to be a weekly 52-issue series or if this is going to be a weekly ongoing. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. I just wish it wouldn't be just about these three characters, but hey, we'll see how it goes, you know? Anyway, it's just like they had a success with 52. They wanted to capitalize on it with Countdown, and they wanted to spin off a bunch of different stories. It just didn't work. All right. Only part of this whole series to me that really, really worked was the Great Disaster stuff. That month of issues was excellent. And once it went over, they went right back downhill. So, anyway, that's it. I'd like to thank everybody who has been listening this far, for everybody who has contributed to the conversation on the website, on the forum, and who sent in emails of support and clarification. Thank you all. I'd like to especially thank Mike Myers, who helped me through some really bad issues. All right. I really was just ready to give up. But I decided, hey, you know, bring Mike on board. Unfortunately, we didn't get to talk about the Great Disaster stuff. But who knows? Maybe if he gets time in his personal schedule, he will send in an audio comment. It's Comic Book Noise. Discussing those issues. Who knows? Hint, hint, Mike. Anyway, that's it. Before you ask, I don't know if I'm going to do something for Final Crisis. I'm going to wait till I read the first issue. All right? Once I read the first issue, I will make up my mind. But if it's anything like this countdown, Anyway, thank you. I'm done. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. What's the last line in this book? Never change, Harley. There you go. Never change, Harley. I'm going to see.